Hey teacher, before we start today's episode, I wanted to let you know about my free webinar happening on the 9th of May. If you've been struggling to promote yourself, if you feel like you still have to chase clients and find them, and it's been a struggle and you can't find your own consistency on social media, then this webinar is for you. It's called How to Become a Booked Out Language Teacher, and I'm going to teach you in a very simple way what marketing actually is about and how to create your own way of being consistent and visible so that clients find you and you don't have to chase them. I hope you will come and hope to see you there. The link to sign up is in my show notes. It's completely free. So literally a no-brainer. See you there. Hey teacher, before we start today's episode, I wanted to tell you about something really exciting happening very, very soon. So you may have heard me talk about email marketing, sending newsletters, building your list quite a lot recently. And there is a reason. Who is we? Myself and Lauren at copy.copy, who is an amazing copywriter, are running a challenge where we will teach you everything that you need to start an email list and get your first 100 subscribers. Honestly, it's going to be amazing. I cannot wait to literally teach you everything we know. We are not going to hold anything back so that you can reap all the rewards of having a functioning email list with active subscribers, because we know how powerful it is and we think that every teacher should have an email list. So if you're interested, we are running this challenge on the 8th of May, that's Monday, 8th of May, for 4 days. And in order to sign up, you just have to go to my website, www.olakowalska.com/race, because the challenge is called Race to 100 subscribers. I should have said that before, right? But anyways, we cannot wait to see you there. And yeah, just go to my website or to the link in the description of the episode, sign up, and we'll see you there. Hey, and welcome to the Get Richer Teacher podcast. My name is Ola, and I'll be your guide and mentor on your way to realizing your potential as an educator. If the title of the podcast is triggering, that's even better, because that means that I still have some work to do. My mission is to help teachers work independently and believe that they deserve more freedom and more money. As a teacher, you are allowed to work with your perfect students rather than some random people challenging how much you charge and asking why so much. If you're ready to become a richer teacher, build and scale an independent teaching business that can support your dreams and your lifestyle, then you're in the right place. The world knows that teachers are superheroes. Let's get paid what we're worth, shall we? Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Get Richer Teacher. And today's episode is really, really special because I've invited a really, really special guest, my lovely client and a sensation and a powerhouse, Paulina. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored, honestly. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here because honestly, we just had a conversation just before we started recording. And Paulina is like, she asks me, do you think I've got anything to say? And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Anything interesting?
Anything interesting. You do have lots of interesting things to say. And I think the reason why I invited you is that because I think you are absolutely extraordinary. Especially in when it comes to your action-taking abilities. Honestly, people could learn so much from you. But also, at the same time, I think you're like so many other teachers who started in a very similar way. And I just wanted people to know that story, and I hope you're okay with sharing it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, perfect. So tell us a little bit about who you are, how you went into teaching, and you're on Instagram, right? So I guess people would want to know that. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Ah, so that's one of the most difficult questions I always find.
I know.
Tell me about yourself. Sounds like an interview.
How do you not sound like a twat?
So I went into teaching in August 2020. So that was in the pandemic. So I started learning Italian. I love Italian. And then I thought, I really loved what my Italian teacher was doing. And I thought, you know, I'd always been thinking about teaching English as a second language, but I had this barrier and this block, you know, how can I teach English as a second language? And I'm not a native speaker. So that stopped me for quite a few years from becoming a teacher.
Wow.
Yeah. But then, you know, I used to work with this girl. She was from Romania and we worked in the same admin office. And you know, she just started, like, one day she told me, oh, I'm going to become an English teacher. And I was like, if she can do it, I can do it too. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So, yeah, she inspired me. My Italian teacher inspired me. So I joined a language platform, and I started teaching on this language platform. And then, with a bit of experience, I thought, you know, why not take it more seriously and, do my, TEFL qualification and my CELTA qualification as well.
Wow. I love that. And even more relevant, now you're saying that you were basically inspired by a person who were just like you and just wanted to follow. Like, honestly, I want people to hear your story today because I want them to get inspired to follow your steps and, like, how taking action can actually take them where they want to be. Yeah. Oh, amazing. I love that.
It was honestly life changing because I never thought I could do it. I honestly never thought I could do it. Like, me teaching me, because my background is I'm not anymore. Hooray! An administrator. I worked, in administration for, like, I think for 15 years before I quit in December 2022, wow. Which I'm going to talk about.
Of course.
And I thought, this is it. This is my life. I'm just going to be stuck in an office in front of a computer for 7 hours a day. Just wasting my life away. Mm-hmm. I realized that, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. I actually love English. Mm. I love teaching. I love languages. And I thought, you know, I love it. Why not just pursue this passion of mine?
Mm.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask, so when you actually decided to start teaching, you were still working full time in your admin job, right?
Yeah, I was, my job or jobs, should I say. So I'd been juggling, I don't know how many jobs. I think one day I counted, I think I had six jobs
Jesus.
At the same time. And one of them was, it was my full-time admin role, Monday, Friday, 9 to 5. I'm also in the fitness industry. So I'm a Les Mills national trainer, presenter and assessor. So I do that. I teach my own fitness classes as well every week. Currently, I do 13 classes a week. So yeah, this is what I juggled. And I started obviously teaching English. So I had private students. So I would teach them from like 7 a.m. till 8:30. And then I would get to my full-time job. And then after that, I would do my fitness classes. And then after that, I would come back home and then I would do my like fitness assessments, whatever
Madness.
I needed to do. So yeah, I worked really hard.
It seems to me like you were not afraid to double in different things that interested you, like fitness and teaching, but there was also some fear holding you back because for many years you didn't even imagine that you could quit that job, the admin job, right?
No, I thought my life was, admin, fitness. I love fitness as much as I love teaching English. So I knew I was going to, you know, stay in the fitness industry as well. But there was this big fear, you know. I have a mortgage to pay. I got my house in December 2020. I don't have anybody to help me financially. I need to make sure that I have, you know, money to pay my bills. So that's why I, you know, stayed in my admin role, for quite a few years before I.
But then you left. Honestly. This is where it gets interesting. You actually left with a mortgage, being single. Is that okay to?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. To say, sorry, I should have asked before, but like, it's I can imagine that it puts a lot of strain on, like, what if it doesn't work out? What if it's difficult, right? But you decided to leave anyway.
Yeah, I did. And I'll be honest, like, I reached a point where I worked with fantastic people. They were amazing. But I started feeling that I was suffocating.
Mm.
And it came this point where I'm being serious, from July until October, every day I had a massive headache whilst being in my office, sitting in front of a computer. And a couple of times I even thought, you know, I remember staring at the computer screen and I remember thinking, oh my God, I'm going to go crazy in a second.
Mm.
And I started seeing, just walking into my office and I would see my colleagues. Okay, they're lovely, but I don't know, like in my head, I could just see like lifeless people.
Wow.
Typing their emails. And I was just like, I don't want my life to be this. I have to quit. I have to do something.
Wow. What a breaking point as well, right? Like physical symptoms of not just burnout. I don't know if you would agree, but I recently saw a post on Instagram, I think, that said something along the lines of, maybe it's not burnout. Maybe your body is telling you that you're not in any way reaching your potential or working towards your realizing your potential.
That's an interesting point. Do you know? Maybe
it could have been that, right?
Absolutely. It could have been. Yeah. Thinking about it. Maybe it was a little bit of both, you know, because I'll be honest, at that point, I was also started working on my first digital course that I launched in December 2022. And I'll be honest, I was working from 5 a.m. until midnight every single day for I don't know how many months.
Yeah.
And I think mentally, physically, I was just tired.
Yeah.
I knew I really do not want my life to be this way. So I thought, you know, life is so short. And I thought, why not just take the risk? Because I thought, I'm going to take a calculated risk. I'm going to quit my job. I have my mortgage fixed for the next 3 years. Fantastic. I've got my fitness classes. I sat down for the first time in my life and calculated how much money I need to pay like my bills and just to live fairly comfortably, you know, not having a lavish lifestyle. And you know, I actually realized it's less than I thought it would be.
Right.
It's less. And I thought, you know, I can do it. I can do it. And even if it means earning the absolute minimum just to pay my bills for a few months, I want to do it because something that I've learned, something incredible that I've learned, like through working with you, for example, mainly through working with you, is that you can change things. You can change things in life. You can change things in business. So I thought, you know, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to try my hardest for it to work out. But if it doesn't, fine.
You can change again. Right.
Yeah, I would start looking maybe for another admin role. Not my goal at all, but I knew that, you know, admin roles are everywhere. I can get one. No, I don't want to say no problem, but you know.
Yeah.
It's there. Absolutely. There is this option. So why not take this risk? Because incredible things might happen. And they have happened.
They have happened. That's the best. Yeah. Like, I feel like so many people are in that state of what if it doesn't work out, whether it is about like starting to think seriously about their business, whether it is like just generally letting go. And they, what if it doesn't work out? But like, I can see you are like the living example of someone who thinks, I don't care if it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, I'm going to do something else. It's like the best example of growth mindset, I would say. Yeah, I love that about you.
And I've learned a lot about growth mindset and just knowing that things can be changed if you want them. And if I may say, mention my now ex line manager, who also inspired my decision to leave.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Because I remember having a conversation with him, I think maybe three or four years ago, when he was very unhappy. I mean, he's been unhappy in his like job forever. But I remember him saying, oh, you know, I want to change, like 4 years ago. I want to do something different, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, what steps are you going to take now to, you know? And he was like, oh, I could do maybe like a qualification in something. I don't know what, can't remember. Oh, but it's going to take half a year or a year to finish, blah, blah, blah. And he never did. And 4 years down the line, here he is, exactly in the same place. Exactly. Nothing has changed. So 4 years ago, he was thinking, oh, maybe another qualification, but it's going to take a year to complete. And look, 4 years later, nothing's changed. And I'm like, I don't want to be like you. Yeah. You're muted.
Sorry about that. Somebody has to say it in a Zoom meeting. You're muted. It's just tradition. It has to happen. Anyways, yeah. And I think sometimes it's you have to get that signal from many. Yeah. It's like, it's me. I know it's not for me. I'm in a really shitty situation. It feels safe. Like this to me sounds like your admin job maybe was your comfort zone, right? It was a bit shitty, especially the last few months as you described them, but still it feels safe because that's all you know. Like I even did that in one of the podcast episodes. Like I compared comfort zone to a pile of poo. So it's smelly.
I remember that, yeah.
It's actually shit, but you know that shit. So you're not willing to leave that, but then you did. And I'm like, how do you feel now? How does it? So it's been what, three and a half months now?
Yeah, 3.5 months. But before I, if I may add, it wasn't an easy decision. Honestly, like my parents, when my mom wasn't happy, because it was my comfort zone, because my job was stable. It was a good job. It was a well-paid job as well. And, it wasn't easy for me to quit. And I remember, I don't know, do you remember, like we had one of our meetings, one-to-one coaching, and I actually cried. I burst out crying at the start because I was just at this breaking point when you just asked me like a normal question and I just responded something, I don't know, pulled something out of my ass and I started crying.
I remember that.
Yeah. So it wasn't just like, oh yeah, I'm going to quit. No, it wasn't an easy decision to.
Yeah, I remember. But, you know, it's that, I think that's what, maybe not what defines us, but like that's what actually matters. Not the fact that there was a past where you perhaps wasn't very passionate about what you were doing, but the fact that, hey, you wanted to do something, you did it. And even though it was really hard and you felt resistance, like there was even practical arguments that people would make, but what about your mortgage? What about things? You still did it. And I think that's like courage on steroids. And I honestly admire you for that.
Oh, thank you. And you know what? I knew I'd made the right decision when I kind of announced in my office. I was leaving. So I sent like an email to everybody and I said, oh, I'm quitting, blah, blah, blah. This just gave a couple of reasons. You know, my business is going well, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to follow my passions. And I saw like people were shocked. People were shocked that I was leaving. And that's when I knew that I'd made the right decision because it's their comfort zone. I used to speak to them and so many people afterward, not so many, a couple of people from my office is very small. There's like 8 people, said to me, Paulina, you're my inspiration, which is just a little bit to hear because they want to do the same. And they've started taking actions to leave because they have other things, side hustles they've had for months, years, and they want to do the same. Yeah.
That's just madness, right? And you didn't even know that it would have this effect on other people. No, I love that. I love that.
That was a bloody awesome thing, seeing the shock on their faces. And I was like, yeah, the right decision.
Yeah. Because basically, if you could do it, they can now do it too. It's like, I feel like sometimes we do things for ourselves, but then the ripple effect it has on people around us is just so meaningful. It's that permission that you give other people that you maybe didn't even know they were looking up to you, right? It's just, it's incredible. So, okay, you're jobless. You're like following your passion. Great. Yeah. It's rainbows and butterflies. Tell us what you've been doing. Tell me about a little bit about, so like going back, you also started an Instagram profile at some point. Yes.
Yeah, I started my Instagram profile in June 2021. Mm. Yes, that's it. And I started it because a couple of months earlier, I was approached by like one person who wanted me to do some videos for them. And then one of my students at this same time said to me, Paulina, how about you start some videos? And I was like, oh, two people are telling me that I may be good at these things. Mm. Like, yeah, why not? So I opened this Instagram. I was heavily inspired by another Instagram channel run by one Italian girl. And she would just post, and she still does, content, word of the day, idiom of the day,
right,
da, 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 of the day. And I thought, oh, you know, this is good. I'm gonna start doing it. But my goal was to have or find paying clients, paying students. And yeah, I did that for a year. I posted every day a reel and a post for a year, which was tiring.
Can you imagine?
Bloody hell, it was very tiring. And I wasn't getting, you know, far with it. I was very surprised that, you know, 6 months into my Instagram career, I only found one student.
Interesting. Yeah, so what made you think at that, like back then, that it was about posting daily and posting, like, was it because you were inspired by that other page, or like how, yeah, what was your thought?
So I was inspired. This is what this girl was doing. I thought I worked with her a little bit. She asked me to teach some Italian people. So we worked together a little bit, and then we stopped working together. And then I was just like, oh, you know, it's working for her. And she started having groups as well. And I thought, ooh, you know, she reached 50,000 followers. And I thought, oh, I'm going to wait till I reach 50,000 followers, and I'm going to start doing something with my groups. Mm. And I tried a couple of times and, you know, didn't get anywhere with it. But yeah, I was heavily inspired by what she was doing. And what I was seeing on Instagram in general, because this is what you see on Instagram.
This is what you see, right? Huh. But also, like, she was having some success with it. Or did she not? Or did you think she did? And like, what was the story behind it? What do you think?
From what I could see, because I was one of her group tutors.
So yeah.
She started having groups, and then I was one of the teachers who taught for her. It looked like the groups were successful, because I taught for her for about, I think, 3 or 4 months, fairly regularly. And I was like, this is easy, right? Surely. But no, it wasn't that easy for me. But yeah, she was having success. Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. I wonder what that was about. Was she consistent with reminding people about her offers, or like marketing and selling, or?
I think she was. And she had a newsletter as well, going. And, I think that made a real difference. And I think
it's
made a big difference in my business and my nurturing of my, you know,
potential clients
and community in general. Yeah. So she had that going, and she kept banging on about her offer, basically.
Right.
Things that I wasn't doing.
So it's funny how, and I don't want to generalize, but I think a lot of people, when they start their social media journeys, they just look at those profiles. They see, oh, tons of followers. And then they assume that they need to get to a certain number of followers and only then make any sort of offers, if any, because a lot of people don't make offers at all. Was that your thinking? Because you said, oh, I'm going to reach 50,000 and then I'm going to tell people about my groups, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, this is exactly what I thought. I thought I'm going to put this little offer together for my groups, and I'm going to, reach 50,000, which I did. started advertising. My first group course, which never took off, I had one sign up, and there was a second person that almost signed up. But then I decided not to run it with one person, no group. And yeah, I thought I'm going to try again. So after a few months, I tried again and still nothing happened. Yeah, but now...
What do you think happened? Did you have a reflection on that?
I know exactly what happened.
And Go on.
And you told me that.
It comes from you. I mean, we did analyze it for a bit. Let's be honest here with the listeners. We did analyze it. We did think what could have gone wrong. Yeah. And also, I don't like to say that it went wrong, because the amount of action that you were always taking, I think it was just a different journey, what your Italian colleague was doing to like anybody else. And you learned your lessons from it. So let's just tell everybody what happened there. What do you think?
Yeah. So I think, firstly, my offer wasn't, okay, the biggest thing, I wasn't talking about my offer. I would just mention it literally like once a week or maybe once every 2 weeks. And it would be like, oh, by the way, you know, I'm like, Paulina. The people basically didn't know. And what I've learned is that you have to keep telling people about your offers, because, and I've experienced this, because people will not know, people will not click, people will not go to your website unless you tell them to. And that actually works also perfectly, a little, you know, not related to my English teaching, but also in my fitness classes, in my, you know, I've got a new class on the timetable. People won't know unless I tell them. So this is what I've been doing, banging on about it. And look, people have started to come. People know, oh, there is something.
And do you think it was difficult for you? Or was it difficult for you to change that mindset that you need to tell people more about your offers? Was there anything that you think maybe some sort of a mindset issue there? Or do you think you genuinely didn't know that you were supposed to be doing that?
To be honest, I didn't know, because I was assuming that people would click. Hey, there is a link in my bio. Come on. Can you not see? Why are you not clicking?
Right.
I thought, because, yeah, I was expecting people to, you know, if there is a link, they would click. Plus, on top of that, so that was the biggest thing. I just didn't know. And then when I started working with you, and then I started to learn more about, you know, how to run a business, basically. I had this little maybe embarrassment. I was a little bit embarrassed to talk about my offer. Like, at the start, it was really hard. Like, you know, now I have to mention money, and this is what I have for you. And so for the first, I think, few weeks, if not months, it was not very natural. It didn't come naturally to me. But I've learned, and now I keep banging on about.
Oh my God. It's like, if there is anybody who sells all the time with no shame whatsoever, and I love it, is like Paulina. If you want to know how to do it and how often it's supposed to be done, it's just go and check out her profile. She does it. Like, I had a mentor once who said, think about, in your head, think about how many times you think you should mention your offer a week. Okay. So now everybody think about that. And now you should be doing it times four. So you think five, it should be 20. Because usually it's the biggest opportunity that we have, especially if you already have some sort of an audience. And I'm not saying big or small, because, you know, there are also certain risks with a bigger audience. It doesn't mean that all of those people are ready to buy, but it's definitely important that you do try and monetize that if you've already put so much effort into it, right?
Absolutely, yes. So now I don't want to say, you know, I bang on about it every 5 minutes. I don't, but a few times a week I mention it. It's in my emails, because I started my newsletter in, I think, November, and I send it every week.
How many people do you have on your list now?
Oh, so it's grown now, because I invested in Facebook ads. So now I have...
Look at her.
Just under 1,600.
Wow. On my list. Madness. Yeah. And you only started in November.
Yeah. So that's
Jesus. Do you never worry about that you're never going to have anything to say? And like a lot of teachers say that. I know I should start a newsletter, but I don't know what I'll say to those people.
At the start, when I started my newsletter at the same time as I created my freebie for my first digital course, or leading to my first digital course. And then I created my welcome sequence of 6 emails. And that's when my newsletter started as well. And at that point, I didn't quite know what to write about. And you may remember a couple of times I said to you, "Oh, hola, can you have a look at this newsletter? Is it okay?" And you're like, yes. And that's when I realized that I have to trust myself.
Mm-hmm.
If something feels good, write about it. It doesn't always have to be educational. But yeah, stay visible and just trust your instincts, because I think people will get to know you through your newsletter, and you have
absolutely
to be, you have to be yourself. You have to write in your own words, you know. And now I just trust myself. And you know, very often I just like, you know, whenever I'm, for example, I'm doing something around the house, and you know, I think about something random or something happens in my life, and I was like, that's a good topic.
Oh, yeah, me too. I have that all the time. It's the best inspiration, because that also comes naturally, doesn't it? Even negative experiences. Yesterday I had this, but actually talking Facebook ads, I had a very negative comment underneath my Facebook ad. And I'm like, yep, that's going into newsletters.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Use these. Like I had a comment under, I can't remember. Was it earlier this week? I posted something about, because I'm very against this trend. Speak like a native. Oh. Say this. Do not say this. So I used somebody's comment for my post, and it's going to go in my newsletter as well. Just trust yourself and.
Absolutely. And also people need to know what your values are. It's not just about the fact that you've taught them a new expression. It's about the fact that you've got opinions, have a certain vibe. And I'm honestly looking at you, and guys, I'll obviously link to Paulina's profile, but you'll see she's got such a distinctive energy that it's like, I'm pretty sure that most of her loyal followers and people on her list are there for that energy. Nothing else. The language is the added bonus rather than anything else. So it's actually the way it should be. So tell us a little bit about the digital courses. So you've launched one. How was that experience?
Do you know, it was a roller coaster. I can't even say this word. How do you say this word?
Roller coaster.
That's it. Of emotions. So I worked so bloody hard on this course. Honestly, it's a vocabulary booster course. 8 modules, core modules to help people boost their vocabulary, giving them strategies, practical exercises, quizzes. Oh my God, you name it, and it's in the course.
She's selling it on my podcast, honestly.
Do you know, because I also, you have to believe in your product. And I created a product that I truly believe in.
It's amazing.
I know people, you know, I've spoken to so many English learners over the years, and so many of them said to me, "Paulina, I don't know how to learn vocabulary effectively." Ha, ta-da, here it is, Vocabulary Booster Course.
Love it.
And for that, I also created my freebie, my lead magnet, which is a free ebook called Vocabulary Booster Guide. And I honestly believe that everybody will do my course one day.
Oh, awesome. It is absolutely. And the people who know you, like, honestly, I don't know why all your followers still haven't bought it, but you know, it's just about mentioning this offer more and more and more. I'm so happy. Also, did you have any fears before building the course, like tech fears or anything like that? Because a lot of people, I think, are afraid that it will be overwhelming tech-wise.
Yeah, Yeah, I did. And it was, I'll be honest, it was because I am on my own. I don't have, you know, PS English is, this is my business. PS English is just me, nobody else. Mm. And, but I found it took me a few days, maybe a couple of weeks to find a platform to build my course on. Mm. Am I okay to mention the platform?
Sure.
Yeah, it's Learn Worlds. Absolutely fantastic. And the number of emails I fired to their technical department in like 3 weeks.
I know. I remember you were telling me. But they've been so supportive. And it's all about you taking action, right? As well, again.
Because everything, the platform was new. There were so many things to learn about it. And I was so lost. I was like, I was firing like 5 emails to them every single day. They've been so supportive responding to my emails within like literally 2-3 hours. But yeah, I invested in this platform. So it's not a free platform. And I also, speaking of investments, some people may disagree, but I believe you have to invest in your business to see some sort of return. Mm. That was a big investment for me. I built it with the help of the, you know, the support squad, they call it.
Amazing.
Learn Worlds support squad. And now I'm doing my second digital course, and it's not so overwhelming because I just know.
Right? You just know all of this. Yeah. It's amazing. That's amazing.
Going back to your question about like how I felt launching this course, if I may talk about this, I worked very hard. I had my email sequence, welcome sequence to my freebie, blah, blah, blah. And then it came to the launch. It was the 12th of December at 12 past 12 UK time. And I remember I launched it and I had my first sale in like the first 20 minutes, which felt bloody amazing, right? And I remember messaging you. I was like, oh, look, somebody's bought my course. I'm like, yes, awesome. And then, and then 24 hours later, there was
nothing, right?
There was nothing. And I knew that in the launch, which my launch lasted 1 week from Monday to Sunday, I mean, this offer, I had an offer like 50% off on my course. I needed to just be so visible on stories, posts, emails. I needed to be talking about this offer. And I remember Tuesday morning, it was still one sale and I was feeling so low. Mm. Honestly, I took my phone out because I needed to do these stories yet just to say to people how happy I was and how I was just super excited that people were buying and it's such a great.
But they weren't.
Yeah. And I just wanted to cry. Honestly, aww. I had my phone in and it took me, I think, 10 takes to film something decent, like just to force myself to be happy. I felt so low and I cried afterwards. And then I had my one-to-one meeting with you on Wednesday and you gave me such a massive kick up my backside because you said to me something that I hadn't thought about. Paulina, how about you celebrate this one person? Celebrate this person who bought your course because it's bloody fantastic that somebody has decided to buy your course. And I was like, I will do.
Wow.
So I started celebrating. I like had balloons. I was popping like people's names.
I know you went honestly.
Yeah, I went all in. My balloons. So everybody who bought, and in the end, 18 people bought my course. Hooray!
Madness.
Honestly.
Madness. Madness.
So yeah, I created my balloons, but then the balloons got a little bit tiring, if I'm honest. I was dancing with these balloons with people's names on the balloons. So I got myself a massive rocket cutout, cardboard cutout, and it's in my office. And I just
love it.
Sticking stars with people's names on it. So yeah, it was a roller. I need to learn how to pronounce this word.
Just say it in Polish or I know.
I don't know how to say it.
Can't you remember? What's the word? Listeners, please help. Oh my God. This is so inspiring. I just have to say that it's so incredible that you talk about the struggles. You talk about, you're open about the struggles, whether it is struggles when it comes to your job, quitting your job. Now, building the course, overcoming issues with the tech, like messaging support, like so many people would be just afraid to ask. And then feeling really low when it doesn't sell. So many people go through that when they first double into like selling digital things, especially, and when they actually try launching. launching is a very, very specific experience in business. And then you're able to change things, like this whole idea of changing the way you feel, the way you approach things. Yes, celebrate. Yeah, it might sound like such a simple piece of advice, but then you took it and it worked.
It did work.
It is about the energy of it, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know, so many people who actually bought my course were messaging me saying, Paulina, where is my balloon?
Where is my balloon?
When are you going to do a dance for me?
Honestly.
And I was like, I can't keep up. Just
I love that.
But yeah,
but you see, it's not just about the course. It's literally what we've been saying. I think people were part of that experience that you created there, and I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, and something else that I've learned also is over the past few months is that there are other people who have created some vocabulary boosting courses. Mm. There are other people who are selling some phrasal verbs quizzes. I don't know, but people will buy because of you. People will be attracted to you as a person. And, you know, it looks like some people are attracted. Some people don't like me. You know, that's fine.
That's okay.
That's cool. But yeah, I will have some people in my sphere of influence. And yeah, and I've built this sphere and I'm hoping for it to grow. I'm about to launch my second course on the, 27th of March. Ooh. At 12 past 12 UK time, people.
Of course. This might be airing this might be airing after you've launched. So I'll give people an update. But definitely keeping our fingers crossed. I know it's going to be a smashing success, but I know it's also like nerve-wracking because you don't really know. It's an experiment. And every time there is like another little step outside your comfort zone, right?
Yeah, and this one is, you know, because I the course that I'm creating, it's a conditional sprint course. Mm-hmm. So many people I find, you know, I've spoken to, they have a problem with conditionals. And I thought, why not create a course with lots of short videos giving people like everyday, like scenarios from every day when they can use conditionals. And I've been working so hard on this course and I'm hoping 10 people buy. If 10 people buy it, that would be fantastic. That would be, you know, that is my goal. But, you know, if it doesn't happen, that's fine. I will think of something else. But the course will be there.
Exactly.
Like my first course is, you know, is already there. And I actually had my first promotion on that first course. That was my mom's 60th birthday in February. And, you know, 8 more people bought the course.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, yeah, it works. There are people who are attracted to.
Absolutely. And who saw the testimonials and they know that it's going to help them. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Yeah. And also when it comes to like the fact that you said that now you've learned how to build those things, you've overcome the tech issues and stuff like that. It's. Even if, which I don't believe will happen, even if this course is a flop, like you've got all the time in the world to create tons of new offers that will be a smashing hit. So like the world is your oyster now that you've learned how to do it. So do you go on.
Yeah, go on. No. You said.
So I just wanted to ask. So now you're basically effectively monetizing your audience. It's digital products. Do you have any other plans for like, or do you actually teach people live in groups or in one-to-one classes just to have that clear? Because I bet people are wondering.
Yeah, so I currently teach English privately. I do have one-to-one students who come from my social media, from my, you know, business, PS English. And I also teach English to Hong Kong students, but that's through like an organization that I've partnered with.
Okay.
So I have courses running with them. But my goal is to, I'm happy with the number of one-to-one students that I have. I would love to try group classes again. I would love to try and see, even though I'll be honest, I love teaching one-to-one. But I also have started to see the value of teaching groups. Because I mentioned group classes like a few minutes ago, when I tried to launch them twice. And one thing also that has changed recently, very recently, in my head is that back in, what was it, June 2022, whenever I tried to launch them, I didn't quite believe in them. I was like, bleh, you know, that's, I wouldn't choose a group class. But I've come around to kind of believing in them and understanding the value of group courses. So, yeah.
That's a massive shift, isn't it? Because I feel like that's one of the biggest mindset problems that people have when it comes to promoting their group classes. So many people want to, but then literally they don't have the compelling arguments. By the way, I teach this in my course, Groupify Your Classes. I can plug whatever I want here. Have you watched it? Or did you?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I have. No, I haven't. Yeah. And actually, as I was watching this Groupify workshop that you did, a webinar, I had heard this one argument like before about group class and about the benefits. There was one, I can't remember exactly what it is now, but I remember listening to some, hearing something and thinking, now I understand. Now it resonates with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
A year ago, it didn't.
It didn't make any sense.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, this is genius. Now I know. And now I want to try again.
That's amazing. You see, it was supposed to happen so that you could understand. Now you've tried so many different things, but it's all about that. Like, honestly, this is my whole philosophy in business and in life: trial and error. You're not going to learn. I could tell you what to do, but you have to experience things the way you.
And it may take a little bit longer for you to, you know, to maybe understand or just come round to, you know, seeing things differently. And this is also, if I may add, a little digression, something else that I've learned over the past few months, which I think is powerful, is that when I did, so my first digital course, the Vocabulary Booster course, I launched in December, and then I had my first promotion, on my mum's 60th birthday in Feb, and 8 people bought. And out of those 8 people, I think four of them, I'd had conversations with them a year.
Wow. Right.
And I was like, ooh, you know, I remember exchanging some voice messages with you back in whenever, May 2021. And I'm like, ooh, now you bought. And
that's mad, isn't it? It just proves that for some people, it takes so long to make a decision, but also it takes the right offer for them. So people very often give up. That's what I think happens. People give up. So like, it was so easy. You could have given up after that 24 hours when you only saw one sale. But then so many wonderful things wouldn't have happened because you would have thought, oh no, it's not working. Like, why bother? Right? So this is literally why businesses fail, because they give up too early, because they think it doesn't matter. Like, don't get me wrong. And we also talked about this. It's always okay to change. It's always okay to change the course of your action. Yeah. But giving up is not an option in business. It's not an option.
You're right. It's not. And, you know, I bloody hope this course works, my second course, because I worked so hard on it. But, you know, I believe in it. And it's, I think, also down to how I talk about it. Can people see that I believe in it?
You definitely believe in it. Like, honestly. I don't know any other person who is so bloody passionate about conditionals in English. Honestly.
I love conditionals. Honestly, I love conditionals.
And it's mad. Like, and there are learners who need that and who want that and who will find it useful. Who will, for them, it's the biggest pain in the ass they have. And it will unlock them. And like, honestly, I see so much potential in that.
Hopefully, and also, the most important, of course, good offer is, you know, you have to have a good offer, but the person behind this offer, I think this is magic. This is what makes
amazing
sense, I think.
Oh, this has been such a lovely conversation. I love it. I hope everybody is inspired. One last question. So what are the plans for this year? Do you feel like you'll have to find a job, or do you like how, where do you feel it's going?
Everything is going in the right direction so far. My business is growing. I'm happy with it. I would like to learn more, launch more courses in the future.
Amazing.
I have some ideas. Try with group classes, because if you don't try again, you will never know. Exactly. And what's the worst thing that can happen? Nothing.
Nothing.
But my immediate, like, can I say immediate plan? Does this make sense? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is to have a rest. As soon as my second course is launched, I'm going to take a break because I'm bloody knackered.
Lovely.
So I'm working hard, but I know rest is on its way, and I'm just going to, you know, take some time off to recharge, because I think this is also such an important thing in having a business. You work, but then you need this time to recharge. And I honestly can't wait for April to come.
I love that. It also, very funnily, you literally, it feels like you've only just started, but you sound like a very, very much of a seasoned entrepreneur who knows there is no such thing as failure. Rest is important. Like, honestly, I keep banging on about those things, but you are actually doing them. Again, the queen of action, the queen of action. That's going to be your new nickname. They change you on WhatsApp now.
The queen of waking up at 5 and going to sleep at midnight. But, you know, I think you have to be prepared to work hard on your business, because business is not easy.
It's not for me. Obviously, it's not for everybody, because people may have like different circumstances, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Caring for other people, for example, little people especially. But nobody said this will come easy, right? Nobody ever promised that. So yeah, it's always all about sustainability. My computer, unfortunately, sorry about that. It's all about sustainability, but yes, the early stages of business are hard. So yeah.
You work your, you know, butt off. Nothing is, and even if I may add, you know, having loads of followers, you know, I've got 102,000 followers on Instagram. And, you know, it's not easy for me. I don't have people banging, you know, on my doors and, you know, sending me 100 messages a day wanting to learn with me. This is unfortunately not what's happening. And that's just me being honest. This is super cool. I used to have 104,000 followers. That was before the launch of my course. And I actually started seeing, monetizing my business, as in like selling courses. And the number of followers has started to,
drop.
Go down. Drop, yeah.
Do you worry about it?
I don't care, if I'm honest.
They are filtering themselves out, right? They are just like, the right people will stay. The people who are not expecting free stuff. And that's it. Oh, that's actually interesting to hear. 2,000 people. Madness.
Madness. Yeah.
So, I love that, actually.
It's nice to, you know, it helps with visibility, I suppose. And yeah. But 102,000 followers, firstly, doesn't mean that, you know, I'm earning, you know, millions and people, you know, really want to pay me basically for my services, my courses. But at the same time, you know, I've noticed when the number of followers starts to drop, you know, it doesn't mean that you're failing.
It might actually mean exactly the opposite, right?
That you're winning in life.
Exactly. Because it seems like you're winning at the moment.
I am in a good place, and I know I have to be prepared for, you know, ups and downs, and hopefully more ups than downs. Hopefully no downs. I'm going to do my best not to have any or not many. This is just the nature of having a business.
Absolutely is. Oh, love this conversation. I hope everybody loves it. Love it now. Please connect with Paulina on Instagram. I'll link to her profile. It's p.s.english. P, it's How funny, by the way. How clever. Thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your story so honestly, so in such a raw form. I feel like people need to hear this. So I'm super grateful.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. Does it have to end?
No, we can definitely chat, but we can stop recording. Sorry, guys. We're going to chat more fun things now. Anyways, thank you so much, guys. And I'll see you in the next episode next week. Thanks, Paulina. It's not your fault that you don't know how to make good money as a teacher or how to market your teaching. Nobody's ever taught you, but I'm on a mission to change that. Teachers make the world a better place and they can be excellent at business. They just need direction. That's what I'm giving you here and on my YouTube channel under the same name. Make sure that you also follow me on Instagram at @Ola_coaches_teachers and check out my website www.olakowalska.com to see if any of my paid offers, including my one-to-one coaching, my business foundation course, The Rocket, or my membership for teachers in business could be the right fit for you. I'll see you soon in the next episode.